Well, if I, if you want to put them on the table, if I.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'll call us to order in this 2013 Sheriff's Office Budget Work Session. Sheriff, welcome to you and your command staff. Thanks for being over here. Thanks for all the information. Lisa, I'd ask that you just get us started with what everything is and what we're talking through.
You have, I gave you copies of it, Jane, so you've reviewed what's in there. 50% of the year for expenses is as of the end of December on these worksheets you're looking at. Built into it are also the bargaining unit increases, okay, along with FICA and IPERS and all the ancillary costs.
And with that, Sheriff, tell us about your office.
Well, in past years, I certainly have gone off and talked about a lot of the different woes and things, accomplishments that we've had. I think our demonstration in the past, commitment to Story County, and also as an elected official, I too am very cognizant of where the taxpayer dollar is. So we work in our office to make sure that we do the wisest expenditures that we can and do that while also at the same time managing one of the largest, more diverse divisions that Story County has to offer. The Sheriff's Office is somewhat unique. We probably carry, because we are a law enforcement agency, probably carry one of the biggest threats for liability that the county has. We have our largest division, the jail division, is one of great responsibility for the care and keep of inmates that are trusted to our jail. And while at the same time, we probably have our youngest employees, more inexperienced employees, and for quite often, immature employees. And I don't say that to be critical, but I say that as a matter of fact, because jails are quite often where a young person starting in law enforcement begins. And that's the first step in the rung of the ladder. And we can show that because we have had people move on to other departments. I have people in the jail division and in the dispatch division that I have hired for myself for deputy sheriff positions. So we have found that we are constantly in a hiring, recruiting, and training mode at the sheriff's office. What is unique about the sheriff's office is, unlike many other facilities, when they lose an employee, they might advertise, hire somebody, give them a couple days of training, and then they're working. It could be a 6 to 9 month procedure that we have to follow in the sheriff's office in order to bring people on board, to train them, and to prepare them for the day-to-day functions, whether it's going to be jail, communications, or patrol work that are the three primary areas that we hire for. So with that, we watch our line items, as I believe the board knows. We've even created a budget management system that we that the board has viewed before. And we try to keep a day-to-day watch on where our budget is and where it's going. Because of the oversight of our budget, as we strive throughout the year to try to find better and more economical ways of doing things, I think that's reflected back, not only in the savings that we've had from when people move on, which is a big portion of what we've seen as give backs to the county at the end of each fiscal year, but also what we can do in the operational areas of our budget. The operational area of our budget that I do find some concern about is a more accurate and direct reflection on where our budget line item is. And that is because that's what helps us base where we are for future years. Now, as we try to come in within our budget and manage our finances, and we are cutting back the last couple of years from what we projected we needed, we have found that we had to take funding from various line items. An example, overtime. We take monies away from there, but we know because of future years that was much higher than what we're putting in the current year. This year, our overtime line item, because of those cuts that we've had to do to come within budget, it's at 6 months through the year, and we're at 113% in the general fund of overtime.
Right.
So the board has seen these things and is cognizant aware of that, and as always, myself and my staff will continue to be a good partner in Story County with the Board of Supervisors and the other agencies and work as closely and as well and as conservatively as we can.
Sheriff, thank you. I would agree with everything you just said and commend you and your staff. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that Story County, you can't argue that there's any county in Iowa that has a more professional sheriff's office than Story County.
Thank you.
It's a tribute, absolute tribute to your leadership, but it's also a tribute to your staff. I love working with you on your budget. In that I know that I'm looking at really hard and fast numbers. I don't feel a lot of fluff. I mean, the area that I think you and I would both agree where we have a little wiggle room that we really can't touch is in employment cost because of vacancies and openings, and it looks to me like we can count on $125,000 to $150,000 every year above the overtime line. But then a lot of that gets eaten up in overtime because you guys have to be able to do what you do even when you have vacancies. So I'm really, really appreciative of where you are. Now let me just give you where I think we are. Mm-hmm. The first time the three of us sat down together up here in a budget work session, we were in the middle of a budget that had Story County spending $5.2 million more than it was bringing in. The first year we set a budget, we set it at about $2.7 million spending more than we brought in, and last year we've cut that all the way down to under $1 million. This year I believe we can get all the way to having a true balanced budget in Story County, meaning that revenues coming in match expenses going out without eating into our fund balances. That's been our goal all the way through, while maintaining services, while maintaining the items that we do. And what I'm so impressed with you is the last couple of years we've asked you to come back with, you know, doing more with less. Eventually we've got to do less with less if we keep going in that direction. But you've stepped up to the plate every single time and met the challenge and really helped us get there. That said, this is another one of those years that we're trying to get all the way home, and so we just need to be aware of that as we go into this conversation today.
We, along with the discussion we're prepared for today, on revenues, expenditures, the 99 line item areas. Also, we have a request for an additional employee that we would like to make sure that we don't forget about before we leave our hearing today and have that discussion. I think through our budget presentation today or discussions that we're about to have, there are some things that pop up throughout the year that are unexpected that we'd certainly like to share with you that we also have to absorb, and we don't come back to the board to ask for additional funds unless it's to be recouped for, as an example, a grant we got mid-year that we weren't expecting.
Sure.
We expend those funds, and then we have to have them brought back over through an amendment process. It's not asking for additional funds. It's just asking those funds be replenishing.
Well, and my hope is that you found over the last couple of years in working with this board is we're not rigid. I mean, we understand that we have a job to do for the people of Story County, and our role in that, I mean, one of our many roles in that is in the budgeting and handling the finances, but I hope you haven't found us to be overly rigid when you've had a request that has come up that needed to be handled.
I found this dialogue to be very professional and very helpful. My year as a sheriff, which is I've just completed 20 years as sheriff, the various boards that we've had, I've always found very helpful, very easy to work with, some push and pulls here and there. But for the most part, the board has always been very helpful, and we've always wanted to be seen as a partner with the board working for all better government for Story County.
And I think we're all in exactly the same boat. With that, let's start the conversation, and I would just leave it to you. If we want to start off by talking about the request for an additional position, we can sure start there. If you prefer to start somewhere else, we can do that too.
That would be good. We get that out of the road. And, you know, we have, when we built the Story County Justice Center and moved in 2001, I'd come back to the board because our staffing study for the jail, we were basically, for bare minimum, we were 6 people short by that staffing study. The staffing study was more accurate, but at the time, what could be afforded by the board left us 6 positions short. So we moved out there and found that we really needed those positions in the jail. So working with the board, instead of coming back and asking for additional funds, which weren't available at that time, I had to do some realigning within the sheriff's office. We took 2 people from the jail. We took 2 people from patrol. We took our school liaison training officer, Jennifer Holmes, put her also back in the jail, and 1 from support services. So we moved people, realigned the sheriff's office. Within that year, we found funding to bring the 2 deputies back to the road, and we still had not, you know, recouped fully. We have 1 person back, but we have not recouped fully from dispatch. I think if you would look at a true staffing study of the duties we perform, that you would see that we keep pretty much right at the edge of where the minimum number of staff for each division that we have in the sheriff's office is. With that said, as known in public safety, we're not a 8 to 5 Monday through Friday operation. We run 3 shifts every day of the year. And what we find is that when we lose a person for moving on or whatever reason, or somebody's going to be out for an extended FMLA leave action, we are really seeing spikes in overtime. But what is, I think, is equally as disturbing is that the other staff that has to pull together to cover those shifts. And fortunately, we've had the good benefit of good people and good relationships with the union, so we can move people from shifts and rearrange schedules in order to make that happen when we have an extended leave like that. But it comes with wear and tear on the staff. And what we're right now, we're 1 position short in our communication division. We have the vacancy that is there is for a our ops manager position, which recently left employment with Story County. And so we're 1 person short, and we would like to fill that position as a supervisory position, but we also would like to have an additional person within the dispatch center to help us through these times and to fill in an active schedule.
Questions?
So is the ops manager and the supervisor, the other one, is that something that costs 2 people or 1 person? Because the request appears to be adding 1 additional person. So that means maybe some realignment within the communication division?
No, it is not realignment. We have a vacant position right now for the operations manager. Our intention is to fill that position. Then we will be at 100% of authorized staffing. What I'm asking for is 1 additional person above our current authorized position. So it would be 1 additional position that we're asking for.
Paul, anything?
No, I've read through the information, and Alyssa and I have talked about it.
Okay. Alyssa, any thoughts?
I kind of explain this to Jane, what I do when we get a request in. I go through all the information that you submit, all the timesheets. I'll run reports to see, you know, how much time are the current employees taking off. It doesn't look like they had excess sick leave to me. There were no 12-week leaves that caused the 950 hours that the manager actually put in. You know, with our employees receiving, you've got a lot of tenure in that division. They get 4 weeks of vacation. They get 2 weeks of personal days that they can take off. And that's a lot of time to take off. And just looking, you know, it is 24/7, so if you have 2 telecommunicators on, it's pretty much a wash between the 10 employees and the number of hours they can put in with no overtime and the amount of hours that are actually needed to fill those positions. And that's not taking into consideration a lot of sick leave or vacation. So They've done well. I did look at the overtime. They had quite a bit of overtime. I looked at last year and a half. And we had, you know, between $3,000 and $5,000 for most of the telecommunicators that were on staff.
Well, I would imagine having gone through this, but using common sense, if, in fact, we create an additional position for dispatch, it seems to me it should be able to cut the overtime that we're currently that you're currently having to expend back there.
Mm-hmm. That's the theory, and I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Some of the overtime they will not. They run a 6-3, so that, you know, there will be some with the over 40 hours a week that we cannot. You know, it will get rid of some of it, but there will be some individuals that it just the way their schedule falls, they'll have those 6 days within the same week.
Right. Where I'm struggling, Paul, and you can just help me through this, is it seems to me that with the ops manager position being vacant right now, there's an opportunity to really look at some kind of restructuring, acknowledging fully that you need additional man hours back in dispatch. Talk me through that. I'm reluctant to support the creation of a new position when it looks to me like we got an open position that already has been filling, whether it was intentional or not, has already been filling some of the duties back there. And is that something that we can just continue with?
When I became sheriff a number of years ago, it was like most sheriff's offices around the state. Everybody was kind of a jack of all trades, master of none. Paul remembers those days that a jailer called in sick and you're shorthanded, somebody come in from the road and work in the jail. Vice versa, same thing with dispatch. Everybody just kind of pitched in and helped where they could. Because of the liability and litigation that we've seen in public safety and the size that Story County has become, we no longer can operate that way. We have to be specialized in the areas that people work in. That's why jail staff are trained on jail issues. We have the standalone divisions where communications is communications, patrol, investigation. I mean, this is how our office is divided. Shortly after becoming sheriff, I presented the Board of Supervisors back then with a 10-15-year plan of where the sheriff's office is going. And in that plan, I clearly outlined standalone divisions and a command staff structure within each division. The patrol has a division commander with three sergeants for patrol and two sergeants in investigations, one for general crim and one for the drug task force. Support services has a lieutenant with a sergeant and used to be an office services manager supervisor, but because of restructuring, that person has been moved to my administrative person, and so we still have the structure of the sergeant, lieutenant, and then the clerical staff and the civil process deputies that work in that division. Jail, the number there is probably the largest support supervisors that I have, but there again, it's the largest division.
And the youngest.
And the youngest.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, we, right, you know, really work to control. And then we have communications. Communications, the 911 center, is a huge responsibility. Not only the 911 that goes without saying, but we also have a unique setup in Story County where we work with Ames, Iowa State University, and Story County all operate on the same platform. Training issues, equipment is the same, and we were just had a talk yesterday, as a matter of fact, with Chief Chuck Sykosh. As he explained, the Ames Police Department is going through remodeling, and they're going to be shutting down their dispatch for 3 months and ask if we could work together. So what we will be working on is bringing their dispatchers to the sheriff's office, and in our dispatch area, we'll be dispatching for both Ames and for Story County, utilizing Ames dispatchers for their calls. But that's just an example of the redundancy we built in the 911 systems, which I think is a jewel in Story County government here. So With that said, my division commander not only has these issues, we're going through new CAD system that we're bringing on, new 911 equipment we're looking at. I mean, these are huge expenditures. The new 911 equipment that the 911 board is working on, it's going to be just under $500,000 just for that system. We have some real issues we're working on there that Dina is specifically working on, as well as I have put Dina in a position where she is now the chairperson for the state of Iowa on the Iowa Interoperability Commission, and this is where they're designing and going to build out a statewide interoperability communication system, which has been needed for many years. So I've always had the belief that it's better to be at the front end of development than it is to wait for something to be developed and then have to pay and modify in order to come up to speed. Well, this is part of what Dina is tasked with there. So her time is in demand. So then she has to pull away from there or throw in extra hours to also manage the communications division in and of itself. So this is a position that desperately needs a mid-manager to help in this area, somebody who can step into the communications division with the knowledge of what a dispatcher does and manage the personnel and those things that goes along with what a manager does to make sure that our 911 center continues to operate professionally and procedurally correct, which I'm very proud of what we have in our dispatchers. And we hear from people all around the county the tremendous professionalism that our people reflect. We want to continue that. But we're going to be at a great disadvantage if we cannot fill this mid-manager position. Through restructuring, we also have, that Lissa can verify, we have a supervisory position that I could fill back there. But for the last number of years, that position has sat vacant, and I have not filled that. We have rank-and-file dispatchers, one office manager position with the intent to manage the dispatch center itself, and then Dina, who oversees everything. Mm-hmm. So that is the way that structure has been set, and now not only being down the operations manager, which from time to time assisted with dispatching and right, filling in those duties when we had somebody call in sick or something that was needed, it distracted them away from the things they needed to do. But here again, this is what we see when we are on so close to the edge on the bare minimum needed in order to operate that division.
I absolutely get it. My question is simply, okay, we've got the supervisory position, which, as I understand it, would be an elevated, rank-and-file dispatcher serving in that position.
No, it would be a manager.
I've got the manager, but we've also got vacant. You have never promoted a rank-and-file dispatcher to serve in that supervisory, kind of, as I see it, the one level up.
Used it in the past. But as part of moving to the operation manager position was I looked at that, and with the funding that would take, I decided to leave that vacant for the time being,
right,
so we could achieve the mid-manager position and really have somebody that's truly a manager to manage the people and the things that they do in the 911 center itself.
I'm with you. I'm just asking if we have thought all the way through the possibility of having the supervisory position, and not just one, probably a couple, that in essence would be shift supervisors back there rather than the mid-level manager, with them taking some of the manager responsibilities and Dina continuing to do the phenomenal job that she does. While I know you're pulled in eight different directions, again, I'm trying to find a way to make the numbers work and still have us get done the things we need to get done.
The things that you're talking about, we've certainly considered. We've even looked at different schedules. Of course, before we can implement a schedule, that's something that has to be negotiated through contract. But we've looked at going back to 5-2 schedules, because we know the 6-3 schedule is costing us overtime. Sure. That because we have nothing that our hands are tied. We are exploring different agencies that are dealing with that and having some success. Captain Thomas has brought forth ideas of 10-hour schedules. So, I mean, we're looking at different things we can do scheduling, but I also am trying to be very cognizant that I do not want to give somebody a glorified title when their work is not going to change.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
And yeah. and this is what we would do by would be increasing shift supervisors right now the way our structure is, and they would still be doing the work and so would leave little to no time for them to really supervise. And when you're having that kind of a structure, the dispatch division is also one of my smallest divisions. And you have two people that we have to have in there at all times. And so it just seems a little bit out of skelter right now that we would have one dispatcher that would be there to supervise the other dispatcher. I just can't get my arms around that right now. Ideally, it would be great to mirror what patrol does, have a supervisor on each shift, but to oversee the entire division, since Dina's job is so immense and really does not allow her the time to really manage like a manager should do in here, this is why we need a mid-level manager that would be above what a supervisor would just do. Right now, we don't have the supervisors because we're keeping that salary in the mid-manager range and trying to function at that level. Captain, is there anything I'm leaving out on that?
No, I think it's important that you guys understand that we have looked at these different options.
I'm sure you have.
We've explored all these different things, knowing full well you guys are going to ask those questions, and also knowing full well it's the right thing for us to do internally. And if you say no to the request for the new person, what we're going to be forced to do is go back probably to doing what we did before, where our communications operation manager spends half their time
doing
work that we really don't intend them to do. And the professionalism of the division will suffer, because we've been down that road and we know it's a headache. And so what we're fearful of is if we don't get this position at some point in time, it's going to affect adversely public safety, because we won't have enough people or bodies to put in front of a microphone. So we're fearful of that.
Well, I don't claim to understand the nuances of how you operate and how what all the duties and responsibilities of this position would be. I can read the job description and kind of get a handle as to what you're asking for, but as an elected official and as a sheriff, you know, it is your responsibility to basically to come up with what you think is the most desired management style for your particular office. It is our role, as Rick has pointed out, is to raise some of the questions and issues to explore possibilities. The bottom line for me is and I'm so appreciative of where you came in this year with your overall request. Obviously it wasn't, it was above, no increase factor, but it was certainly lower than what I had anticipated that it might come in at. But for the position of this nature, if it's really that important, my question would be, is you would need to have some cost reduction someplace else to be able to pick up the additional cost. I just don't see how we could move forward with filling this position and then consider several of the other requests that I'm sure you're going to speak very eloquently about why you feel they are important, because it will become a question of allocation of dollars. And while we have not tried to lay out some worst-case scenarios for us, we're facing some real unknowns, particularly in the mental health area, and dollars that we know we've got to probably pay back, and that's coming out of the general fund. And when we look at the funding to your department and all departments, we're really trying to figure out, are we going to be in a position to meet the overall obligations for Story County operations? And that's one of the reasons that we're trying to really have a tight rein on what we approve for this calendar year with this big unknown out there that we're dealing with in the mental health expenditure. And so it's not meant to deflect what your need is in no way, shape, or form. And that's probably my biggest concern would be not so much as whether or not the position is warranted or needed, but if it is approved, where can we see cost saving elsewhere which would absorb this cost?
Just a quick comeback to that, Wayne. As I said earlier, our intent here at the Sheriff's Office is to be a good partner with all of Story County government. However, I'm the sheriff. I'm not the board. I'm not the auditor. I'm the sheriff. And so it's my responsibility and obligation to present the needs to the Board of Supervisors what I feel is in the best interest of the citizens of this county for public safety. We are to the point, as Rick had mentioned earlier, he didn't see a lot of fat in this budget. We don't have any fat in this budget. And that's why one of the reasons you've seen such a low request that we have. We understand the position that you're in, especially with the mental health. I've been down in Des Moines and talked to the committees myself on that, and we all understand the struggles. I've said, last 3 years, I said, I fully understand you go into a grocery store with $100 in your checkbook, you can't buy $150 worth of groceries. It just don't work. But at the same time, as the sheriff that I'm sitting before you as, when I have to look at reshuffling, and we've had this discussion, I've talked to my staff about maybe taking somebody from the jail and moving out. But here again, we're back to the position where Story County also bears liability. And the greatest share of liability in Story County, in my opinion, comes right from the sheriff's office. We incarcerate people. We are responsible for 911 emergency calls throughout the county and to be the law enforcement police officers, if you will. For a sheriff to say police officers, that's kind of a stretch. But to be the police out in the county and in the unincorporated areas, there's a tremendous amount of liability here. And to operate with the number of staff that we have, I think it's serious, and I think it keeps getting more and more serious each day. The board's aware of that, and all I can do in this request is to, whatever your decision is to salute smartly and carry on as best we can.
This being either or.
What do you mean?
If you only had one position, if we didn't grant the additional employee, would, I mean...
My intent is, if the position is not granted, we will fill the operations manager position. What I would do is I would have to have a talk with my command staff and specifically what Dina's input would be. But as a sheriff, I feel the manager of this position, because Dina is pulled away in these other humongous responsibility and tasks that she has right now, she has no time to go back there and manage. And we need somebody to manage. So I'm going to fill that position. Now, whether that would come from, like we've done once, and go outside and try to bring somebody in that has the managerial skills, or do we take somebody from within that we believe could do the job, but also brings with them the tenure that they have as dispatching, and then backfilling a dispatcher position and hiring a new person to be a dispatcher. But that the structure we have, Paul, I firmly believe we must stay with. But here again, we're going to be back at bare minimum. I know already that I have one employee that's coming out on going to be an extended FMLA, birth in the family. Well, congratulations. But here again, it is what it is. And we have just recently, I lost one dispatcher that was hired as a police officer in the Ankeny Police Department. She did a great job, and she'll do a great job down there. But we're backfilling. And there again, we're out 3 months. And the rest of the people that are in this division that have a unique set of skills have to be the only ones who can step up and do that job. And so the times that we're down, it really taxes the people. Paying the overtime, yeah, it's there and it's going to impact my budget. But there's also a human factor that we're looking at too, and what these people have to go through. You've been through it, Paul. When we were in patrol, we were down 7 positions at one time, and how everybody had to step up and work the extra hours and what that did to the people there. We also have it set in with unions that when we get down what came of that, that we can do emergency shift schedule switches. But what's unique here, the dispatch division is such a small division that wouldn't be practical within dispatch.
Well, it's a small division, and it's, 24/7, 365. Totally. And I'm with you. I just, And I hope you guys all understand, I don't believe it's the intention of any of us to try to get in and micromanage your office. I mean, there's complete recognition that you're the sheriff and this is yours to do. For me personally, I just want to understand before I cast a vote one way or another on what's happening. And it is our responsibility, that bottom line budget of the county, and so we're ever aware of that. And so just trying to get all these things to fit together, and I hope it's taken the way it's intended. For me, I'm just trying to understand.
I've always appreciated this board's position and not interjected itself into the operation of my office, and in return, I try to make sure the board's fully aware. And we're very transparent in our office on our operations and what we
do. Well, you do a great job of that.
And I certainly want the board to know I see the position you're in. If we were switched, I may be saying the same thing you. I mean, you only have so much. But at the same time, I come back as the elected sheriff and looking out for the well-being of the people in Story County from a sheriff's perspective, I'm bringing this information to the board.
You're doing exactly what a sheriff is supposed to do. I mean, absolutely, your responsibility. Now we got to do what we're supposed to do and our responsibility. And so is there further conversation that we need to have about this? And, Lisa, how is this handled? I mean, do we deal with the position individually right now? Do we get to the end and deal with it?
Totally your call, whichever way you want to deal with it.
I would be more comfortable waiting until the end and seeing where everything flushes out because we've always been mindful of any time we add a new position, the overall impact of that. And as we go, I think we would have a much better, be in a better position to approve it at that point in time. So I think we could start with the intent to really fully look at it and consider it. But, you know, I would not want to personally commit right now before we...
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the things I'd like to do, I'm going to ask that we'll give this to Alyssa, but this shows a listing of a lot of the things that the mid-manager is not doing when they're sitting in a dispatch chair. So, Jane, if you'd give that to Alyssa, and then she can share that with the board. But that, if that will help guide you in your decision-making later on.
Right.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to discuss this.
Absolutely.
Right.
On to the budget. We can go through this however you guys are comfortable going through this, however Wayne, you and Paul are comfortable going through this. I'll tell you, I went through every line just to try to familiarize myself with it. I'm not interested, unless you want to, in going through your budget line by line. What it comes down to for me is really a bottom line kind of mentality, because at the end of the day, Sheriff, whatever that bottom line is, you're the one who's elected to go out and protect the people of Story mm-hmm. County, hopefully in a way that's reduces the liability to Story County as much as possible with whatever that number is. So really leaving it to you, your call, how we go through all of this.
I very much appreciate, as I look at it, the respect the board gives to my office, that we're the professionals. And the last few years, what that means is we talk finances, you give us what our dollar amount is, and we go back and we have to trim the budget to what it is. So I prefer to do it that way. There are some things, you know, that I'd just like to kick the can about with the board if I can. There's just some things that come up throughout the year that is hard to predict 18 months ahead, which we're trying to do right now for the fiscal year 14. But and who would have known last year when we were getting ready to, or the Board of Supervisors set the budget for Story County, went past March 15th, our budget was set, and then the state would come back and literally pull the rug out from under us. So, I mean, there are tremendous positions that the board's in, pushes and pulls that I don't have, but I want you to know that I see that and I respect the position you're in. One of the things that we did this year at the sheriff's office, we requested the board and was granted of moving a position to the sheriff's office. And what we had done was we not only brought the jail diversion program from CLP to the sheriff's office where it's appropriately, I believe, should be, but we're creating a hybrid because the person at CLP, the mental health professional, is coming over to continue the jail diversion program, but they're also taking the REACH program that we have that works with addictions and recovery issues, and we're taking where two people did those jobs, we've combined them into one. Now, when we had this discussion, we also had what it would cost outside salary and benefits to see that we could do this job. Now, when you look at from the CLP, well, we could pretty much absorb those costs. I don't have a problem with that. We can. But the other aspect, the silo here, that's a REACH program, is where the costs occur. Now, I said that 6 months, I would come back to the board and share with you those costs. We have some ideas and some costs I'm very happy to share with you today. And from a predictability standpoint, what we're going to need to really continue this. This is a very valuable program that we have. We have one person we've redefined now that's going to be doing both jobs. The cost factor comes in, not on the jail diversion program, but on the REACH program. Because we have to have people that come in and do the evaluations of the inmates. They have to come in then and do the number of classes that they have for these people in order to meet court-required fulfillments of what their release is going to be and things of this nature. We have to buy the workbooks for them. The benefit that we have this year is that when we re-examined the REACH program, we were notified by the state that we had 34,000, 37,000 roughly, to complete. What was that amount, John?
It's 34,000.
30, okay. $34,997 that was left in the grant to get us through this fiscal year, but June 30th, the grant's gone and done away with. So now we're looking at, it's going to be all on our shoulders now. And the cost that we looked at, the $34,000 roughly that it takes to run the program, we can do it for $24,000 because those are actual costs. The difference between the $34,000 and the $24,000 is the administration of the grant, and that was handled through CFR, and so that's going to be gone away with. So we have a person in-house that will be doing it, but the ancillary costs of hiring someone to come in, and we still are evaluating where that will come from, whether it will be, we'll continue to use CFR, or if we'll find another contractor out there that will come in and do the evaluations of the inmates that will provide the classes, and then we'll still have to purchase the workbooks. So the hard numbers that we're down to now, $24,300, is what we're looking at to continue that program. That's one thing. We're working with, and what I'm talking about here is the 6-3 schedule for our civilian folks that are outside the jail, our cooks and our dispatchers. And we know it's cost about $5,000 for overtime that we have no control over because of federal law. At the Midwinter Conference in Washington, D.C. last year, I talked with attorneys from the Minnesota State Sheriff's Association, the National Sheriff's Association General Counsel, and some others. And I also had Steve Owen, who was an assistant county attorney there, and he was engaged in these conversations with them as well. And we're continuing to explore how these other agencies seem to be able to get around that. In public safety, which the jail is included in on, the federal law recognizes, because we run 24/7 operations, that we can, instead of doing a 40-hour work cycle to base overtime on, we get a 27-day work cycle to base our overtime on, thus allowing us to do our 6-3 schedules and our unique scheduling.
Right.
However, the federal law does not recognize, as we're told, the federal law does not recognize communications as part of public safety. I don't know.
Why?
That's Washington, D.C. for you. So, but anyway, we're continuing to work on this to see if we can do this, or if we have to in order to cut. We may be forced to go back to a 5-2 or some other type of schedule that's much less desirable for the employees. But we're working to overcome that. We have another thing that I just and known better, but with all the things that we have going on right now, it was overlooked when we build our budget. And 911, as struggling as we are in the 911, of which I'm the chairman of, one of the things that we're doing is giving back to the agencies that we oversee. We're giving back tower fees, and that's what everybody rents for their towers, for their radios. Now, we've divided those tower fees up, and we're giving them back to them on a 25% a year for 4 years until they'll have the total tower fees. So this first year we're coming into play the sheriff's office portion of the tower fees. Yesterday morning was $2,730. But then yesterday afternoon we get for our contract that it's going up another dollar per radio per month. So that will bring the quarterly amount to $3,003 that we will have to put in communications radio and equipment line item in order to do that. And this is the first year where we're paying 25%. Next year it'll be 50%.
Right, we can count on the additional $3,000 plus per year for the next 4 years.
Depending upon if tower fees go up. So we're working with that. But those are costs. We also have other things that continue to come up through the year. We had another thing where costs for inmates that are brought into our jail. And if, as an example, a law enforcement agency, not Story County Sheriff's Office, but they arrest an individual, they get an altercation with him, they take him to the ground to handcuff him, the guy breaks his arm. Well, the other agency did it. They take him to the hospital, get him fixed up, send him over, the inmate over to our jail, but they also send the bill over to our jail. And so it's the sheriff that has to pay those hospital costs, even though another agency inflicted those injuries. Whether, you know, I mean, that's just what you do. But that's something that we just discovered last year, or the others discovered, and forwarding to us. So last year we incurred $16,000, which wasn't paid last year because the bills weren't put together. They were carried to this fiscal year. So I've had to pay $16,000 out of this fiscal year for those type of bills. These are things that come up. We have this blizzard we had a couple weeks ago. What we've done in the past, in the jail, there's folks that can stay overnight, and so they will find a place and hunker down. But dispatch is different. I don't want people that are non-jail employees going in and out of the jail. That's a tremendous security issue. So these people that live around the county, if they're going to leave and then come back for duty, they're going to be snowed in and snowbound. They can't. So what we do, they do on their own, is they go and get a hotel across the street from the sheriff's office or across Highway 30 at their own expense. And I thought that, because we are an emergency service center, we have to have people there. I think it's great they're willing to do that. And I decided I'm going to hold them harmless from doing that. So we've created... I had my administrative supervisor contact the hotel, has entered into an agreement for cost when we have to do that. The employee will go over there, present their Story County ID, and then that company will direct bill the sheriff's office. It's infrequently that it happens, but it does happen.
Yeah, I can see where that would be.
And so, I mean, these are costs that come up that we can't project. Right. 18 months down the road, but there are, and you know, we're we're one of the largest agencies Story County has, and number of personnel, full-time employees anyway. So we are going to have growing pains.
But let me ask this question, and Lisa, help me out on that. But because that would be an unusual type of situation and may happen on rare occasions, and if the cost... My concern is whether you try to build in the cost or whether when the cost occurs, it's paid, and if we have to amend the budget at the end of later in the year as a result of the overrun, is that a better way of trying to do that? And the reason for that is a lot of times when there is dollars that are appropriated in a certain area and no fault intended, but oftentimes those funds can be absorbed and utilized in different categories, which is probably a good budgeting strategy. But I'm just trying to analyze from our standpoint, would it be better to not necessarily create a line or an expense for that particular emergency and then anticipate that if it did occur and you had to increase or have a budget amendment to deal with that at a later time, would that be a way to do it? And I guess I'm leaning to Lisa a little bit more in terms of how we've operated in the past as to whether that's doable.
Before Lisa, if I can just explain. First and foremost, I'm not asking for additional funds here.
Well, I know that.
These things I'm just making the board aware of. And what we...
I'm aware. But I'm just... And I was thinking that maybe you were talking about plugging in something. I thought I understood you to think about as you're talking to your staff that we might need to have to plug in some type of expense to anticipate that type of expense.
Well,
and maybe I was misunderstanding that.
We have had discussions in my office and my command staff as we start to build this budget to have a miscellaneous line item.
Yeah, okay.
But here again, you know, we have a miscellaneous line item for revenues, but expenditure is a little bit,
a little bit different.
A little bit different. And, you know, for the fact of transparency, I don't have a problem with staying where it is. But the thing is, when we have the different things that we talked about, we also sit in the command staff and think, well, what line item most, where are we going to put this and what line item? So these things that really don't have a place in the line item, we've been putting them in the consulting fees line item, and which is basically built for our SCAP funds, how we pay that. But anyway, so it's just kind of become a catch-all. The thing that I have asked for additional funding on, Wayne, is the oversight of the tower fees from 911 that I talked about. These other things, I'm just letting the board know, but we have to have a place to put the $3,003 that the tower fees are going to cost in fiscal year 14. That's Sheriff's Office portion. And all other entities are paying their own share from Ames, Iowa State, Roland, Zering, Colo. I mean, all these are for their fire departments. They're all getting their tower fees, which is over $101,000 countywide, are all being distributed back to the local localities.
Sure. And Sheriff, I think I'd just like to underscore a little of what Wayne said of the way we've tried to operate here the last couple of years, and that is knowing that we're 18 months out and knowing what you said about being 18 months out and the unforeseen things that can happen, a lot of times happening. We have really tried hard to budget for those things that we can foresee, rather than saying, well, this might happen, so we need to budget this. Let's budget for the things we can foresee. So the $3,003 in tower, that makes perfect sense to me. We know that's coming. Let's get it here in the budget. It's the other stuff that I want to be really hesitant about putting in, because what I've seen the last couple springs is we get into the spring and we have some flexibility then to do an amendment. And I know you have appeared to me to be really, really hesitant to ever come and ask this board to amend anything mid-year. I mean, clearly you absorb these things in your budget, and you salute smartly. Thank you. And that just shows how much of a civilian I am. And you move on. Well, I want you to be really, really secure that we understand, as, and I don't mean to speak for you guys if I'm misspeaking, as we understand our role, it is to really watch the finances. In this case, watch the finances as close as we can, and the way we've come around to that is, okay, let's budget for what we know, understanding that 18 months out there's going to be some things we don't know, and let's deal with those as they come up. But if we are really, really tight on the way we budget 18 months in advance, it's going to give us more flexibility when we get 18 months into the future.
And absolutely. I've never got the feeling from this board that the sheriff's office is in a lifeboat on their own out there adrift. And I know that as a team player that I can come to the board through a budget hearing or through a board meeting and address the board and ask for additional funds if that's the case. And rarely we've done that, but I know that's certainly an option, and I know the board is, I know your position on that, and I appreciate that position.
Perry, did you want to say, look like you wanted to say something?
I'm just enjoying the banter back and forth.
Okay.
So. Is that what you call it?
any other items that you'd like to bring to our attention?
Our vehicles are laid out. Do we have the jail van in this rotation? We're looking at our jail van. It's many years old as far as our vehicle rotation goes, and we're looking at replacing the van, and we're looking at utilizing the services that we've used of Mr. Katie and Colo, who does some this type of work, So instead of going out and buying a whole new insert and having somebody else put it in, that the van we would buy would be capable of receiving this insert, but we'd have to have somebody with those skills who could take it out of the van, put it in the new van, and then we would take that current van and swap that out with the ERT van and then move for sale the ERT van that's farther down the road than what even our jail van is. So,
Paul McCaskey, I think he's about due.
He loves that van.
He'll be buried in that van.
Moving on.
All right. So before we move on to talk about vehicles and the items in 99 and things like that, let's deal with the sheriff's request. Paul and Wayne, any questions as you went through this? Any questions that
Rick, if I could just say one thing, I do want to offer my command staff. Is there anything else that we should be making the board aware of? Any special needs or requests that we have? Cost of food. Well, I suppose we'll be talking about that, but okay.
And if we want to address that right now might be the time, because I don't know how these guys are going to feel about diving into each line with questions.
I don't have a desire to go through it line by line.
I don't either.
Yeah. Thoughts, Wayne?
No, when I went through it, I highlighted a few areas that I was trying to go back to last year, the previous year, the four-year average, the justification for the increase, and, you know, saying that, well, maybe, you know, short adjustment here or there could make a difference. So what I was trying to do was come up with what I thought might be a bottom line targeted figure. Knowing that the request here for the additional person that I was thinking that there would be strong argument for justification for considering it. And so I came up just roughly trying to guess whether or not I could find $90,000 somewhere. That was my figure. And I just wasn't really sure that I could find that. But I was just looking at different things here and just questioning, whether there was some flexibility in some of these areas. But I hadn't. I don't know where you guys were, what your thoughts were in some areas. I don't know.
That's kind of the way I look at it. I try not to go through it line by line. I try to look more at your four-year average and see where you've been. And you haven't come in here. Since I've been around, either on the board or the sheriff's office, you haven't come in and asked and got your request granted, and then you turn around and walk out the door. So the figure that I had in my head was $100,000, and that's less than we've asked in the past.
To cut our request by $100,000. Okay.
And I know you're going to come back, and we're going to go through this, and it turns into a give and take, which is, I think, what it takes. But that's where I'm at. That's kind of the figure that I had in my head.
Yeah, I'm pretty similar. I was going to ask you, Sheriff, are we in the middle of a negotiation, or do you just want the hard number? Because I got two different numbers depending on what you are there. If we're in the middle of a negotiation, I was going to come back and I was going to say, okay, looking at I'm saying the whole county budget. We made cuts yesterday of about $400,000. To budget request. We're getting there. We're getting close to where we need to be, like I say, with the goal of always doing the right thing for the people of Story County, but really for the first time in at least 20 years having a balanced budget in Story County. I mean, really, really working hard to get there. That's something that I feel is our responsibility that we need to get to. And so I was going to say, okay, Sheriff, if we're negotiating, I'm at $145,000. If you just want really where I think it is, it's $96,500. And again, I did go through line by line because that's what I do, and I looked at everything. But my interest is in the whole. When you talk about the $40 million Story County budget, of which now the sheriff's office is the largest piece of that budget that we have, correct? With the changes in mental health, your office has now become the largest piece. In order to get where we need to be, we have to go get something.
And the largest mental health facility in Story County.
Absolutely, yes. True. And the work that you're doing, along with the new work now that you're taking on in jail diversion and, you know, combining that with the substance abuse piece as we look at co-occurring disorders, something that can really impact the bottom line and recidivism and everything else that we do, I appreciate all that. So the number I'm giving you is just how ultimately I see us as a board getting where we need to go, and for me that's $96,500 off of, and it's the full request now. I'm adding in the $3,003 into that. So I'm not saying your original request was $7,593,320 plus the $3,003 that we need to add in, take off the 96.5. Now, what that does not include is that does not include any new position.
And that will be discussed later.
It can be discussed anytime.
Anytime
we want to have it discussed. The 96.5 that I'm throwing out there to you does not include any dollars for a new position.
And it doesn't include any pre-negotiated raises from the union and things.
Yeah, it includes all of that.
All
absolutely.
That's all of that's
included. I'm saying, okay, so your request
that hasn't happened.
Yes.
The only salary adjustment that hasn't happened in what you have in front of you is you and Barry.
Right.
Okay, but so what you have, what dollars you presented to us includes salary increases?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Except for elected officials. Except for the non-union, which you just
no,
one position.
No, it's in there.
But we, you there. Put a placeholder in there.
For if it's easier to do it this way, if we go down just below employer flex benefits, so everything above that, which includes overtime and everything else, the request, as I added up, is for $1,261,480. And what I'm suggesting is from that line down is where we need the $96,500. Then, you know, whatever the compensation committee comes back with, that will just be added in. That will not be, you won't have to go absorb that as well. If we approve that additional position, that would be added in. We would not expect you to absorb that.
Okay.
We're asking for 96. It was okay. I here. He was 90. He's 100. I'm 96.5. Somewhere in there from, so what is that? That's 1,099,113.05 from just below that line, which starts with employment recruitment, all the way down to the bottom, finding 96.5.
The compensation board meets next Tuesday at 4 o'clock in this room.
So I hear 100. I hear 96.5, Wayne. 90? Okay.
Like I said, this is the perfect example. There was no discussion amongst three of us.
I want to amend mine to 145.
After where we were coming from, I just... I had no idea what came come up
for me. That's not taking it line, like I said, line by line. For me, that's where you guys fit in the overall picture of, of the county budget.
Yep.
Right.
And to get
I certainly respect that, and I tell you what, I think that's fair what you propose. What I ask is, before we have a solid commitment here, I would like to have an opportunity to sit with my command staff, just review these things, look at it, and then I don't think it's going to take us very long, and we'll be able to come back with a response.
But you do like the 145 figure better, though, right, that he proposed?
No, I thought your 90,000 was kind of... Got 196.5 and 90. All right. Listen.
All right. Are we doing?
And I guess from my standpoint, again, as I say, I don't have a full answer yet on the new position, but I can certainly understand the logic and the rationale behind it. And, you know, I look forward for us having an opportunity to really take a look at that when we get, you know, to the end of that as to whether that's doable or not. But I really think that's, you know, I mean, in every case, whenever we get requests from any department or elected office for additional staff, the justification for that is the primary driving force, is does things stack up that tell us that this is the thing that we need to do for a variety of factors. And I think you've presented a very compelling argument there, but I think we will know more at the later on as to whether we can say, yeah, let's move forward with that. I was kind of in my original thought thinking, well, you know, if we got that amount, but I didn't do quite the critical analysis as Rick does. This is one of the things that I admire in him, that he looks at things with a more global perspective probably than I do as we go through all these type of things. But I think that together we're not that far off as a board. So I think we're with
I think it's reasonable, the approach, and I'll speak with my staff immediately after this hearing, and then we can get back to you. And you know, if there's anything that's glaring that really we feel is something that we'd like to continue the discussion on, we'll certainly let you know that. But I think at the end of the first day is the closest we've been ever. So.
Yep. All right, so we'll need a call back. Do we need a call? We need to send a call back, or is this something that you feel like?
How about I just I can give you, or I can give Lisa a call, whatever you, and then
Something to Lisa and CC him, and he can.
Yeah, and I'll put it to. Yeah, I'll put it to.
Yeah.
What cuts?
Oh, did I take that?
Okay, we'll get back to Lisa.
Savings, and then as far as the position goes, if it's okay with you, we'll hold consideration for that till the last thing we talk about in the entire budget. And for me, Sheriff, I get it. I understand the need, and it's going to come down to a dollars and cents thing for me as I make where I'm going to stand on it.
I respect it. I leave it in your guys' hands.
Okay. We still need to go through 99.
Yep. Because that
you guys going to do revenues too, or you guys just happy with revenues?
I was happy with revenues. I didn't have any questions about your revenues. I know how seriously you take that stuff and how solid it was.
Yes.
So
okay.
If you'd like to address anything, now's a good time.
I'm good. I'm good. We're trying to beat a record here.
All right, so we've got 99.
We were talking about the revenue. Okay. We're not going to talk about them.
What's the deal with the jail roster?
Lucy, did you have anything you want to talk about?
My husband complains about this every day.
We're going through.
That's really important to him.
Our CAD system, we're going through some new software out there. So in order to implement this into the jail, we had to take the whole system down. We still got some other things that we're doing. At the end of the day, people will not only be able to go onto the software and get to see who's in jail, but they will also, if they have you have an accident, you'll be able to just look it up in the sheriff's office, punch it, and have pull up your accident electronically. You won't have to call us. You won't have to mess. If your house is burglarized, you want to see where they investigate, you can look up the report, click. There it is. So we're adding these features to it, but it's just taking a little bit to do that.
Yeah, I think so. Barb.
John, when will the jail be up? That should be back up and running now, shouldn't it, the picture? Is that for the inmate roster?
Just for the pictures, it's like just the roster.
Yeah. Yep. So
part of the problem we run into, because it's multi-jurisdictional, we have to run by Ames and ISU just to get that component out there. So we're dealing with it's nothing's just as easy as us saying yes.
I think our IT director even got an email from somebody wanting to know that.
Oh, we hear about it all the time.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you do.
Tell them to call the sheriff.
Somebody actually thought you had gotten arrested and had your picture in there, and then they didn't.
Yeah, there were a lot of conspiracy theories.
Yeah, sheriff, shut her down.
Yeah. just take
I wouldn't have to
down.
Say that. They already know automatically to do that.
All right, 99. Countywide services.
169. Countywide services. I just wanted to get a real accurate picture of what the...
That's the overall. This is the detail.
I try to make it as easy as possible, Paul, and you didn't notice that?
I still haven't figured it out. Third one.
Sheriff, question I had on vehicles, are we moving more toward the SUV... four-wheel drive vehicles for patrol?
Yes, this request that we had... when we put in our request for the bids, I directed my field services commander to make the patrol vehicles SUVs. The reason I did that is because, number one, the amount of equipment that we are required to carry I mean, the cars are just getting smaller and smaller. And as an example, this last jail car we got, the new Ford that is supposed to replace the big Crown Victoria, well, you get a cage in there, and they brought me back to the Sally Port to look at it, and an inmate that sits back there that has to be transported 4 hours away has this much leg space for their legs to sit in. So we're trying to think what we're going to do to get through that. But to get back to the SUV question, the amount of cargo that we carry, but also I've had some deputies coming up with back issues. And, you know, as we drive our cars, it's not just three or four times you're getting in and out of the car. These guys are up and down the highway, and they get out of it multiple times each hour. And getting into an Impala is much different than getting into an Explorer or the other type of vehicles that we have. And we have one sergeant that was in an accident while on duty a number of years ago, did injuries back, and getting in and out of the Impala was really starting to kill on him, not to mention the 30 pounds of weight we carry on our utility belts that we wear all the time. So that, and with couple of other deputies coming up with similar back concerns and complaints, and it's, I believe, directly attributed to the type of vehicle they have to get in and out of.
Sure.
So in the long run, trying to resolve that, we're looking at the SUVs. And
well, and for me, what it's come down to is value and utility of the vehicle. The fact that the prices have come down so far on an appropriate vehicle like that, the fact that it's the full four-wheel drive sitting up a little higher, with a couple of the incidents we've had with deer here in the last, I mean, it just starts to make a lot of sense to me that this is the way to go if we can afford it. And it looks to me now with nuts and bolts, value to value, that it is something we can afford. So
well, you'll never get an argument out of me about going to an SUV. When I went to that Explorer, I wouldn't have gone back to even a Crown Vic, because it starts to wear on your hip getting in and out of cars, and
oh, terrible.
Like Rick said, with the value when they're done. I mean, Margaret and the health department is happy as can be with your old Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
And when I told her maybe in 4 or 5 years she can end up with a Tahoe, she was just ecstatic.
Well, we had, with that, we also are looking at in the jail, we talked about a couple vehicles. I gave you the example of the new jail car we got. We're kind of bantering back and forth in the sheriff's office if we want to take that vehicle when we get another vehicle and give that to patrol.
Which vehicle are we talking about, Sheriff?
That the new jail car that we got, that you put the cage in and you got this much leg room. And if we would do that, I've asked Jeff and John to look into the Charger that we have back there now. That gives more leg room. The insides haven't changed in the Charger. If it would be better for the jail transport to go with the Charger because of the space that we would have, the cage is already there. We could swap it out and then just move the Ford that we have that's back in the jail, move that to patrol. But we're still looking to see how we're going to shuffle it. But if that would come to pass, that's one of the things you might see in the shuffle that we're doing.
Do you want to clarify? I mean, I think that
in the narrative in the vehicles for the general, that first car says Lieutenant Dodds' vehicle. That's incorrect. That should be the trade-in of the Charger. The jail car, that will be the jail car instead of Lieutenant Dodds. As much as we like Jeff, he doesn't get two cars. Because you'll see down in the it's also indicated that his is a trade-in. So
what year is that Charger?
2008.
So you're looking at, in the general fund, replacing two jail vehicles, basically.
Well, that's because of the van, and the van's an anomaly because we keep that so much longer. But those miles, jail is basically highway miles. But
what year Charger is that? 2008.
We have the cost of the insert in the budget for the van and that. Yeah.
So do we scratch one of these down here you were talking about or not?
No.
Just leave. This
is
rural.
Jail.
Oh, jail. Okay.
The number of cars does not change.
Okay.
Just the
right.
Title for the first one is listed in general.
God doesn't get two. I know. See? And he doesn't have a Malibu, correct, currently, does he? Because down there it says he has a 2009 Malibu. And I'm like,
it has a Malibu to replacing. You don't have that.
See? We'll dock Jane a little bit of salary for that oversight.
Get in my smart car.
I didn't have any questions here.
No, I.
How you guys feel? Well, let's just leave this one alone then. That's easy for you, Sheriff.
Good. Appreciate that. Anything else we can get service to you on?
We have one item. In the studies that we did over the last year, that I had identified as being a conversation that we need to have with you, and that is updating the master plan for security and identifying budget priorities for the security of all our county facilities. This, again, is the conversation not only about having somebody at the front of the Justice Center, but having this area staff, human services building, going through all of that. As I look at our budget for this year, there's just nothing there other than trying to get some additional man hours down at the front of this building and the great work that you do anytime we have something big going on over at the Justice Center. But this is something that we need to take on, and I believe there was a study done. Has it been 4 or 5 years ago now, or was it longer than that?
We've been doing studies on security in the county building since I became sheriff and started doing them back then.
Yep.
So I've been updating the board, but you hit it right on the head, yep. Rick, when what it comes down to is cost. Now, when we have a request, we certainly will, if there's an issue, year and a half ago, there was some concern about somebody coming to the board meeting that was getting excited about things. So myself, one of my command staff, come over and we sat at the board meetings. Not that we weren't excited about hearing what was going on, but we came over and sat here. And, I mean, if there's something that goes on, we will be as accommodating as we can. But those are for short periods of time.
Absolutely.
And so we will do everything we can to make that happen. But realistically, without trying to give you a false sense of security, to make this a secure facility, you know, it's gonna be cost. I can give you a plan for the Justice Center, for the administration building here, for CLP, whatever county building you want, but it's going to come down to where those funds are going to be. A number of years ago, my ex-jail administrator, who's retired, found a heck of a deal for basically a brand new magnetometer from a federal building that was going to be discarded. So they gave it to us at Story County. We brought it back here, and it's been sitting in the front of the Justice Center just plugged in to keep the calibration going, and it just sits there. So, I mean, we have some of the equipment like that we could do to make the Justice Center secure. I can give you whatever kind of plans you want. And
sure.
We've done
well, the problem for me is it philosophical along with the reality, the fact that at least for this building, I know that the Justice Center is a little different because the judges get to do what the judges want to do in a lot of cases. But for this building, you know, we're relying on advice that says we can't make this a firearm-free zone. Well, that leads me to, okay, if you can't do that, then what are you screening for? What are you doing with these things? But philosophically, I think we need to have the conversation about the things we can do, which includes us putting somebody down at this front desk. It would not be sworn law enforcement, but it would be somebody just to be aware of what's going on. As we look at the new phone system, being able to have a panic-type mode, there are things that I believe
absolutely
we can get to. And if the reality is that the nature of public service is that you can't really close down your buildings, as we're hearing from our county attorney, you can't really control what comes and goes out of them, then we're going to have – there's no reason to throw money at something that you're really not controlling anything anyway.
Well, we've done a survey here recently. We had our vendor that does our cameras in the jail come over here in the administration building and look to see what it cost to do cameras. But here again, you know, that's going to be basically for us after the fact, so we can mm-hmm. you know, assist in prosecution investigation. Again, the ideal world is one thing, but reality is something else. I think this is going to have to be addressed more at a legislative issue on a much broader perspective. Let me give you a couple of things that I have that are concerns, not trying to get too far away from this point, but the issue about what you said about bringing, we can't even restrict firearms coming into the building. Well, even beyond that, I had an instance where when somebody comes in to get a concealed weapons permit at the sheriff's office, we have to do the federal mandated checks, which is called a NICS check. And that's a database of, you know, everybody that comes in. So we run the names through NICS, and it comes back no criminal history or record or domestic violence or things that are federal prohibitors. And so then they're given the permit. The discretion has been taken away from the sheriff.
Right.
So we're basically clerical for the state now. We had a permit that came back a couple three weeks ago, and on the NICS check it said suicidal tendencies. So we looked at where that was at, and we contacted another county, sheriff's office to sheriff's office, and said, what can you tell us about that? And they said, we can't tell you nothing because of HIPAA. A lot of people have a misunderstanding about HIPAA, but law enforcement is supposed to be excluded from HIPAA. But everybody uses that as a crutch. We're not going to give you information. They said, we can't tell you because of HIPAA, but you need to look into this farther. Well, what are we going to do? So we had our county attorney, Jessica Reynolds, assistant county attorney, call down to that county, and they said, yeah, we aren't going to tell you. But you should really look into this a little bit more before you give them a permit. So based on the report, the information from our county attorney, assistant county attorney, and we contacted the state with this issue, they both said there's nothing you can do but give that person a permit. Now, we have a shooting situation, and the sheriff has a federal report that comes back that says suicidal tendencies, and the sheriff gave him a permit anyway? My hands are tied. We have another situation along the same lines, where we had an individual arrested by one of the local law enforcement agencies here. The individual was charged with a serious assault on a domestic situation, and it come down to felony domestic violence, which is a disclaimer. And so I gave an order revoking the permit. So I revoked the permit, but the guy says, I ain't going to give it to you. So I'm thinking, well, there could be an arrest for interference with official acts or failure to surrender the permit. So again, we call the county attorney's office. There's no provision for taking that permit back in the code. So we call the state. Nothing you can do about it. So this guy's out there with a permit. Not only does he have a permit, and even though I revoked it, so if an officer stops, you could check, well, it's been revoked, so they can take action that way. But when you get a permit to purchase a firearm in this state, if you don't get a permit to purchase, but you have a concealed weapons permit to carry a concealed weapon, that takes the place of that permit to purchase. So this guy can go into any store and buy any kind of weapon he wants on the spot because he has, what he's showing them, a concealed weapons permit to carry. This is a huge issue. And a year ago, in 2010, when the legislature passed this law and took the responsibility away from the sheriff, they opened up a floodgates of things they didn't consider. So I can't physically revoke permits, and I got to give permits to people from the federal disclaimer that comes back that said they have two suicidal tendencies. This has got to be addressed at the state level, and a lot of this has got to be cleared up. But it comes right back to the issue of security right here in the buildings we have. I can't prevent somebody that has suicidal tendency from carrying a permit or from carrying a firearm and coming into one of your board meetings.
That's right.
Good luck.
Yeah, well, but we'll have it all on camera.
Yep. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe.
I know Barry had offered or had talked about ALICE training at
we
our
have
staff meeting.
The instructors for ALICE training, they've been at a number of our schools. Other schools are requesting this. And we've given, Barry had talked at the quarterly meetings that we have for elected officials, and we're prepared to give training to any county employee, office, or department on ALICE training, and that's an active shooter training to better equip employees how to protect themselves, how to evade dangers, variety of things. Barry, you
Yeah, and that was just, Rick, that's the one point. That's one thing we can do is we can do those type of trainings. And as we talked about it at our quarterly staff meeting, we will offer that as a sheriff's office. Right now we currently have 4 instructors for ALICE. And especially with the shootings recently at Sandy Hook, the demand for our people right now is out the roof, whether it be for churches, for schools, for businesses. And so we're in the process right now of identifying at least 4 more instructors to get them trained up. What we're planning on doing is offering at the sheriff's office, probably in March of this year, 4 different dates for county employees to come over and be trained on how to properly react if you're in the middle of something like that. So that is one thing that we can offer up, but there's cost for us that comes with that, you know, hand in hand with the budgeting, because we got to train these people, we got to make them available, and when they're available, because we don't have a whole lot of people to fill them,
right.
We're paying overtime. And so, but we understand it's a priority. We want to do all we can to help you guys with your security issues. But like the sheriff said, there's always costs associated
absolutely.
With it. So, and we're also open to any ideas you guys might have. If you want to have further conversations about what we can do to help with this, we're all ears.
We need to continue to have those conversations and do what we can do, knowing that our hands are tied in a lot of cases. My understanding from Treasurer Tweet was training was outstanding. I know she highly recommends it for everybody, and we're appreciative that you guys step
reviews
up and
reviews from the schools and other places we have has just been outstanding. Very complimentary, very appreciative, and as a sheriff's office, we're out here to provide this service to help the citizenry and the public as best we can.
Sure.
Unfortunately, when I was going through school, we had tornadoes we worried about and fires. This is so off the scale of how you could think of something like this would happen.
Off the subject a little bit, but related somewhat, where are you with the ID? You know, at one time we had the capabilities of having that little ID thing for all of your employees, and we had this one equipment I had talked about at one time, thinking about whether we'd ever want to consider that for all county employees. But can you tell me a little bit about where we might be with that concept at this point?
I think in this day and age, it's kind of behind times that Story County doesn't have professional IDs for the employees here. We purchased a machine, and we do this for Story County employees. All employees in the sheriff's office have a photo IDs, and on the back with all driver's light bar scan, and also all the certifications that we have as depending upon what area we're at. We had one time talked about, you know, setting it up, maybe doing it countywide, and employees could just come out to the sheriff's office, stop and get their ID and go from there. But again, it comes back to cost, it comes back to time to my staff, who's going to be able to do that. And you know, with the change in the laws for the concealed weapons permit, boy, there's times they're lined up out in the hallway the way it is just for that. So anyway, I'd certainly, if you wanted to come out and see it sometime, Jane is the one who oversees the ID, and she can show you how that's done. I can show you what my ID is like. And
I've seen it a few times, yeah. And I've often thought about it. I would have liked to have had it. And then I got to thinking, well, is that something that as we talk about security, as we talk about who comes into the building, is this something that we want to look at, particularly from a countywide perspective, identifying county employees, you know. And I mean, it's just something that when I go to Polk County and I go into that building down there, all of them's got them. And I said, oh, well, Story County, we don't have that. I wonder why.
Well, the sheriff's office...
on your list?
On my
okay.
List. Yeah.
Sheriff's office, we're a secure facility, so we know who's in our building.
Right.
And
right.
We have, when we have interns and right. Things like this, they have a visitor badge or an intern badge or something that they wear so they can be recognized by other employees throughout the office. There's been a couple of other departments, I think Deb Schildroth had a couple of their employees when they travel were questioned on their IDs. They didn't have any. So we worked with them to get them some IDs. But if we're looking at, 260, 280 employees of the county coming into the sheriff's office, we're looking at the volume, the magnitude that would cause, that we would have to have a discussion if you want to do that.
Might want to. You can also incorporate that with our FOBs. So that's something that I've talked to facilities about. It wouldn't work for your department, but
sure.
for regular employees. That's their, access. They go up. That's how they get in the building.
The card's actually got the chip in it. So
and then we pull
card.
That.
And that's where it starts to make sense if we're secure in the building. If there's a purpose to have them, then we have. The other thing is I understand it, you can get a county employee ID through DOT as well.
For a dollar. But, and we pull those when they leave. We know we're notified by the DOT that
somebody
person
has them,
a county
right.
ID
so,
when they go.
I mean, there's another option. We'll have that conversation.
What?
You're reimbursing the dollar?
We haven't. But we can.
They've never asked.
That's good stuff.
I would personally give them.
Put it like this. They've never asked. But if they
we
did,
need to talk about
them.
IT. I don't know if they have anything in front of them from IT. A couple things. IT came forward with a budget that included 45 new desktop PCs for your area. We've pulled that simply because for the last 2 years we got off of schedule in replacing PCs as we started looking at going to virtual desktops. And so we've suggested to Barb that as we move back into getting on rotation for replacing PCs, let's make sure we're replacing the ones that are most in need of replacement. We don't know exactly where that's going to come down for you, so I don't want you counting on 45 new PCs. Second one is you guys had requests through IT for, as I see it, four items. There was a 19-inch, a PC with a 19-inch monitor for jail administrator, a printer for the volunteer room, a microphone, and two 19-inch monitors, I think, to be able to go to the double screen setup. And as I have it here, we pulled the printer for the volunteer room. We pulled the microphone. What did we do with the jail administrator? Paul, I can't remember what we did with the PC.
The question, you don't have one now?
Jail administrator? Yeah, he's right back there.
No, the PC.
He's asking for Mike. I have a laptop. I know he has an actual desktop instead of having. I have a laptop, but Mike does not. So when he's coming in and out, then he would have a laptop that he could take with him.
Yeah, because what the request was a PC with a 19-inch monitor.
Basically, he's gonna, like we were talking about, the streams where he can do both because he does so much with the computers. That way, he can have the monitor along with the actual computer.
So this is a replacement, or
the monitor for the to be able to go back and forth would be new, but the actual.
Okay. We haven't dealt with that one yet. We will deal with it as we have Barb come back in here, and the two monitors, the two 19-inch monitors. And I have it here listed as 400. We did go ahead and approve that or intend to improve it as we go through the IT budget, just so you're aware of all of those.
The microphone?
Does that go with the Dragon Speak
Dragon
software?
Speak software.
Okay. Have you looked at that?
I have it.
You have it?
And it's for Lieutenant Ellis, who also is a policy writer. Because we have some old policy that's not in digital form, and for us to be able to speak it into It saves so much time. It's a great tool. And I would suggest for any of you guys that are composing things, it takes a little bit of getting used to, but it's a beautiful tool.
We had looked at one time of even coming to the board to hire a consultant to put our policies and procedures in place. But realistically, there's no funding to do that. So Barry and some of the other command staff have been working as hard as they can to try to bring our policies. We had some very archaic policies. And we're trying to do everything as best we can to mirror accreditation. Not that we have funding to work for it, but we can at least mirror it and what others have. So we're doing that, but Barry is just on it all the time on policies and bringing them up to current speed. And I tell you, he's commented to me many times how that's really helped.
Because I've heard the opposite. It doesn't work super good, but it depends on the user. So
I really enjoyed it. It took a little bit of getting used to.
It's kind of like my smartphone.
Yeah,
it depends
user,
on
right?
the user.
Well, and then you change smartphones every 2 months.
Yeah, man, that's what the best do.
Anything else that we need to discuss here today?
No, that was the one.
Are you asking anything of us about security, or is that just for discussion here?
That is a conversation that we need to continue to have.
Very good.
Yep. I made a commitment. We made a commitment to these groups that were looking at this that we were going to start to address each of these items as we go through the budgeting process. And so consider that the beginning of us trying to address these items.
And just for you to be aware, is I made a special request to the judges when we were first, when the weapons law passed, whether they would want to take action that would prohibit any firearms coming in, and they were supposed to take that up, even the juvenile area, and to this day no one has moved on that request.
There's been one time I asked a judge to do a make it a weapons free for a specific jury trial we were having. And so they cut an order barring weapons in the courthouse, and I did a secure facility for the duration of the trial. But when the trial was over, so was
the order
prohibition on the weapons.
There's nothing else?
Oh, can I just make an announcement? The board did set the annual township meeting for February 13th. Sheriff Paul, you're always a very popular speaker for our township officials.
February 13th?
Yes. It's a Wednesday.
Ash Wednesday. I can bring the ashes if you want to come.
Would you bring them to Boulder, Colorado?
Yeah.
Captain Thomas will do a fine job. Oh, you're out too? Okay. We'll have a representative.
Okay.
There.
Yeah, I just, the agenda right now is a work in progress, but I just wanted to, you're the first elected official we've seen. I wanted to let you know.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that, and we will look at... someone representing.
Yeah.
Everybody's checking their shoes in the same room.
Oh, everyone's asking for vacation right now.
I'll be at Shrek at CY Stevens with my family. So
I'm going to call us adjourned.
Thank you.